Hey, what's going on, everyone? It's Luke. I'm here with E, and for a little bit of a change of pace, we have the one, the only, Sean Jones, a.k.a. Mr. Jones of For Sports himself, unfortunately wearing Mets shit, but
I came to rep.
Well, that him being in his fucking Met gear should tell you that this is the long-anticipated NL East preview of the podcast, obviously brought to you by Jones and For Sports. And as I say every time we do one of these episodes, if you live under a rock, if you live in Amish country, and for some reason don't know we exist at this point, that's more on you than us. But never too late to join the team. You can go find us on social media. If you really, really fuck with us, you can find us on Patreon. Get into it there. That's for the diehards only. And, let's get into this. Now, I'll put a timeout on myself here. Before we get into the NL East, there is live baseball on this planet, and it needs to be addressed because it's live sports.
Yeah, you're right.
So, obviously, we're two games in. This is not some monumental, groundbreaking, I'm not going to say it's not must watch, but for me it is. I actually enjoy this about, I'm going to say more than Last Dance, to be 100% honest.
Right, makes sense.
The Korean Baseball Organization, KBO as it's more commonly referred to, is playing their regular season. They're doing it without fans, and they're pumping in crowd noise, taking a page out of the Seahawks playbook. And for what it's worth, these games are, at least so far, I would argue almost more entertaining than Major League Baseball. A couple reasons.
I have a quick question before you go into it. You said it's Korean. Is it both North and South, or is this in one spot only?
That's,
I know they got their beats and shit. So I'm trying to understand.
4 days ago, the North and South shot at each other at the DMZ. So
I mean, like, do they have their own separate leagues of Korean?
Even if North Korea had its own league, I'm pretty sure no one would know about it. It would only be North Korean.
let alone be fucking televised in the U.S.
You're right, and there would never be a deal with ESPN.
So, of course.
In the South. Just to clarify, there is, the KBO is fully happening, just no fans. Umps, first base coaches, bench players are wearing their masks and gloves, even though the Koreans have done a hell of a job, stopping the spread of this goddamn virus. And like I said before, it's an entertaining brand of baseball. It just is. These guys don't – I watched five innings of – the first game between the NC Dinos and the Samsung Lions. And yes, I'll get into that. Those are not city names. But I only recall one full count. These guys just don't take pitches unless it's going to hit them or it's like in the other batter's box. Okay. When they swing and miss, they're pirouetting in the batter's box. They're bat flipping singles. take like the best parts of like the WBC and kind of stick it in the middle of South Korea.
Okay.
Like that excitement, that kind of feel, like the foreign feel.
Yeah.
And there are some Americans, notable names. Tyler Saladino, he plays for Samsung. Who else is over there? Eric Thames came from there before he went to Milwaukee and got, way more notoriety. Former Philly, Aaron Altair he plays for the Dinos. He sticks out like a sore thumb for the obvious reasons. He's like a 6'3" black guy in a field with Koreans. But, But for what it's worth, I know these games are on at like 1:30.
Yeah.
5 o'clock in the morning. I just record them and just watch them when I can. I don't have a rooting interest yet. Maybe by next Take It Deep episode, I'll have picked like my team. But for now, I don't have a rooting interest. I'm just so happy that I can have baseball in any capacity. And kudos to Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez for waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning to broadcast these games via, I guess, live feed.
Okay.
Because it's a 13-hour time difference. So, right. Again, tip of the cap to them. But, yeah, we'll keep you all posted on the KBO at least until the MLB figures out what they're doing, which should be coming in the next 6 to 7 days, according to Twitter. But there will be baseball. The umps have been paid. The teams are telling.
Well, I think I heard the other day, Manfred came out and said there's going to be baseball this year.
Oh, no, they're 100% going to do something. Once you pay the umpires, it's pretty much where and when.
Yeah, I guess the thing is just timing and trying to get a reasonable time of a spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't just throw people out there and say, go play.
No, half the league would be hurt in like 2 weeks. Right. So, I mean, they're figuring it out. They're shooting for that 100-game mark. Like I said, I don't fucking care. Just like I'm latching on to Korean baseball. So you give me my normal baseball. Yeah, and I'm more all in than I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
Speaking of American baseball, we are here because the NL East needs a preview. That's why Sean is here. No offense. He's learning the game and learning via MLB The Show, which is probably the best way to do it. Anyone who needs to learn football plays Madden. I'm playing NHL right now to learn hockey. It's how we learn. Right. Although, for our diehards for this show, we tend to go over our teams in order of kind of how we think they'll finish. So, by default, that leads us to one starting point, and it is the Miami fucking Marlins. E, what do you got on the Marlins?
The Marlins, the team was pretty much the worst team in the league every year.
Arguably, yes.
Every year. Doesn't matter who's their owner at this point. We all know Jeter took over. They traded away their whole starting outfielder, two of the thirds, which were like the last two NL MVPs at the time. We all know by now they get a guy. Once it's time for that guy to get paid, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Start again. But, yeah, some of the moves they made, Jesus Aguilar.
Yep, former Brewer All-Star.
Yeah, a first baseman. The move I liked the most was Jonathan Villar.
Mm-hmm.
That I said, you know, if he didn't play for Baltimore last year, everybody would know him.
Yeah.
At least a little bit.
Yeah, either him or fantasy players.
The guy, he's a good shortstop.
Yep.
He can hit, he can steal bases, all that shit. You know, just watching him versus the Yankees last year, I seen what he can do.
He was the only player in Baltimore's lineup you really feared. It was him and, like, Severino.
And a little bit of Mancini.
Well, okay. And also, by the way, please, a get well soon needs to be issued to Mancini, who found out he has stage 3 colon cancer, I believe it was.
Yeah.
So he's out for the year, which sucks, because he's the only reason that you would go to an Oriole game at this point. So, but he needs to get better because – yo, he's a good guy. He's no baggage. He's one of the
greatest to him.
Yeah.
But yeah. So aside from Aguilar and VR, the minor moves, Matt Joyce and Brandon and Kinsler, I'm not excited about them. Nor should you be.
I think those are the moves you make to try to hit lightning in a bottle for them guys to do something, and then they build up a little bit of trade value,
uh-huh.
Become, you know, trade deadline, and you try to just get something for them.
Yeah, you'll
flip them, you know,
single A guy.
Or, you know, Matt Joyce, a team who's looking for an outfield bat. You know,
Yeah, Matt Joyce is the guy who plays for, like, Oakland, Miami, like the small market.
That's
kind of his niche. Good player. He's been around long enough, so you know he's clearly got something going for him. But you're not going to get excited, nor should you. Who on this team are you like actually curious to see how they perform?
Well, mine is VR.
Okay.
Just because like I said, not a lot of people know about him. Me and you know about him just from seeing him so much. So I think, you know, the guy can hit.
Yeah.
He can fucking hit.
Yeah.
You know, and they do have a couple of pitchers, one or two pitchers in their rotation. But to me,
steal my answer.
Yeah, I guess.
Jordan Yamamoto.
Yep.
Yeah,
nah, he's good.
No, that kid's gonna be. He already is good, but he's ascending.
Yeah.
The other guy I had on my radar is Jorge Alfaro, who was the major league ready piece in the JT Realmuto deal. I gotta say, Alfaro had a hell of a year last year. Played by far the best ball of his career. Good defender, good middle of the order bat. It's almost like you traded Realmuto for a poor man's version of Realmuto in a way.
The one thing about the Marlins that's tough is like you don't really know too many players just because that when they play good, you go the following year, that guy's gone. They have another young guy playing a new position. So it's just like it's hard to say, well, it's this guy.
Yeah.
The one thing you know you're gonna get from the Marlins is a guy who's at the end of his career who just enjoys playing the game and a bunch of young guys. That's it.
Right. No, that's that you can't really argue that. And again, no one's gonna fear the Marlins. The only team that should is the Mets. Because for some reason
Mets can't beat them.
Specifically DeGrom
does
not know how to pitch to them. This is one of those weird baseball only quirky shit. The best pitcher in baseball can't pitch to arguably the worst lineup in the National League.
Yeah. It
makes no goddamn sense.
You're right.
So yeah, I enough about the Marlins. It's the fucking Marlins.
Yeah, there's no need to spend too much time talking about the Marlins.
Yeah. My fourth place finisher, I'm pretty sure we're in consensus agreement here. The Philadelphia Phillies.
I like it. Yes, I agree.
Again, surprisingly quiet, but I feel like Harper is kind of handcuffing their available money. Mm-hmm. They signed Didi Gregorius. Love that for them. They brought in Joe Girardi, which is probably the biggest signing they had. Because Gabe Kapler is a fucking awful manager.
San Fran.
Yeah, and they brought in Zach Wheeler, which – I'll argue they overpaid, but I think they had to.
I think so.
Yeah. And then Josh Harrison is, I would say, easily one of my favorite players in the league, even though he's never going to be Pittsburgh version of himself.
Oh, no, yeah.
But if you need a guy that can play six different positions at a fairly decent level, that's your guy. Or at least a pinch runner.
If you need a guy, and that's the one thing with him, he could play any position you put him in. He's going to fucking hustle his ass off. Mm-hmm. We've all seen the fucking highlights of him in rundowns.
Yeah, he's incredible.
The fact that you can shake people in a rundown.
Yeah. Josh Harrison on the base path has moves that most NFL running backs would kill for.
Exactly.
It is definitely nuts.
My thing with Philly.
Yeah.
I mean, you brought up all the major signings and everything. Is how well does Girardi and Harper mesh? Because we know Girardi's kind of a no-nonsense, tough guy.
Yeah.
And we all know Harper gets in his little diva attitude. Sure. Kind
of thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the benefit of getting Girardi is he's used to having stars.
Yeah.
This isn't like uncharted territory. Like Gabe Kapler is a terrible mix for a guy like Harper. They're two polar opposites. Girardi can be just as intense. Like it's almost like they're cut from a similar cloth.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, game recognized game, you know, personality recognized personality. But for what it's worth, Philly, by adding Girardi, probably got about 7 to 9 wins better, I would say. Just on correcting the mistakes that Kapler made.
Of course.
Typically with handling a bullpen.
Of course, yeah. Well, we know there's one thing. Girardi has rules when it comes to his bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
He won't use a guy more than 2 days in a row.
Yep.
You know, he'll definitely keep guys fresh. The one thing I do got to say about Harper, though, is he gets a lot of shit. And, you know, most of the time he deserves it. But the one thing you got to give Harper, he definitely gives his all on the field. Yeah. Granted, he might not always run out, you know, a ground ball or something, but the guy's willing to run through fucking walls in the outfield.
Yep, has literally done it before.
Exactly. That was the knock on him, was he gets hurt too much. Well, if you look at a lot of his injuries, it's on the field-wise because he's giving – he's putting it all out there.
It's also a risk. Any converted catcher, there's going to be more wear and tear on the legs.
Yeah.
And also, his swing is violent.
Oh, yeah. Now, he has a violent, nasty swing.
Yeah.
Before you mention prospects.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go back to something I said in the Central preview.
Okay.
One move to make them probably the top team in the division, Chris Bryant in Chicago.
I'm going to actually, it's funny you mention that. I'm going to tell you exactly why they shouldn't.
Good.
They have a top 50 prospect in baseball. This guy, Alec Baum, as I'm just going to pronounce his name. Before the Real Muto trade, it was Baum, Alfaro, Sixto Sanchez. Two of those three are now gone.
Yeah.
Baum's the one they kept.
Okay.
What does that tell you in terms of, you know, your impression and how your development trajectory just within that organization? The kid's a stud. Also, he's probably their opening day third baseman, if I had to guess, just because Michael Franco is gone, and that's been a problem position for them for a while.
And I do got to say, defensively, they got a nice combo up the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Well, Didi's always been an underrated fielder. I mean, we saw it
always.
Always. I mean, yeah, Philly's not a bad team. I just don't think.
Philly's problem about they definitely could have built that team better, but Philly to me falls under the thing of trying to chase the big name too much.
Yeah.
And it hurts them.
Yeah, I would agree. Like,
you know, the Yankees. All they needed, Gerrit Cole was the only missing piece.
Yeah.
For that team. Mm-hmm. So they went after him. Philly's case is you have more than that one player. Granted, you could use Harper. But you needed more than just Bryce Harper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you spent the shit ton on Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you could have that money.
Young guys.
Yeah, that money could have been used better, maybe another position player. And look to the trade market for starting pitching, considering what a guy like Corey Kluber went for, something like that.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody thought Corey Kluber was going for that.
Okay.
What he went
good.
For.
I
seen what he got traded for, I even said, shit, the Yankees could have fucking did. Cashman could have did that with his eyes closed.
Uh-huh.
But I just think Philly, they look too much for the big splash in free agency every year.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. I think when you take – they have the best catcher in baseball. They have a top five right fielder. Didi's a top 10 shortstop. Baum's an up-and-coming stud. Rhys Hoskins is the forgotten-about guy who's, oh, by the way, could easily drop 40 home runs in a year. Scott Kingery is a good center fielder. There's talent all over the place with this team. The problem I think we saw, if you boil it down to brass tacks, was Gabe Kapler is a terrible fit for that team and, honestly, probably the worst fit for Philly as a city.
Yes.
A meditating yoga hippie is not the guy that Philly wants.
Wasn't he booed on, like, opening day?
Yeah. But okay.
They gave him a series, and then Philly fans. They turned on him. It is Philly fans. Yeah.
Boo fucking anybody, yeah. Regardless of sport. That tells me nothing. I'm just saying Philly is a tough city, and Gabe Kapler is in San Francisco. I can't think of two completely polar opposite cities than San Francisco and fucking Philly.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. So, and he'll do great there because the Giants suck. He can fuck up all he wants. It's not going to help the Giants.
Yeah.
Girardi is, you know, Girardi at his
– I mean, no, if there's one manager built for that, why not get the guy who just came from the fucking Yankees?
Right. And not only that, you were taking teams, Yankee teams to the ALCS. Philly fans are gonna want that. It's time.
He was taking a Yankees team that nobody thought was ready for a year or two early to the ALCS. Let's talk about it. That Yankees team, we're in the time now that everybody had this Yankee team ready to compete for a championship.
So we covered Alec Baum. I'm calling it now. That's their opening day third baseman. I think he's proven he's ready. And that lineup's deep enough where you don't have to force him into the three slot. He can hang out 6-9, just kind of get his legs under him and just kind of blast off.
The lineup is definitely like well balanced with righty lefty.
Yeah. It's a good team. It's a good fucking team. This is the problem with this division. They're a good team and they'll finish fourth because that division's an arm race and they can't compete.
The weakness of this team you definitely would think would be the pitching side.
Yeah, bullpen, 100%.
Yeah, I agree.
Who is your – I mean, I know you mentioned Harper and how he's going to mesh with Girardi. Is there anyone else on this team that you're looking to see how they do?
Mine is going to be Rhys Hoskins.
Okay.
You know, like you say, he could easily drop 40 bombs.
Yeah.
I think this year they moved him permanently to first.
Yeah, which is smart.
Yeah, smart. You keep him on the field, you keep him alive.
He was also, from a metric standpoint, he was a extremely bad left fielder.
Yeah.
He's not a corner outfielder. I'm going to go with Wheeler.
Okay.
There's always a little something when guys stay in the division but go to the rival, there's always something a little bit more intrigue to that. Philly fans are probably going to be thinking along the lines with us where we probably overpaid for this guy. He better be fucking worth it. I'm just curious to see because Met fans, they do care. We shit on Met fans. But in that rotation, he was the fourth guy, third guy at best.
Oh, yeah.
Now he's basically their third at worst.
Yeah.
Maybe their second.
Yeah.
So it's an added pressure with a fan base that's equally rabid, but probably more populous than the Mets are. I just want to see how he handles Philly. Not everyone can handle Philly.
Yeah. And last point, just before we move on, I seen today a report came out. A Roy Halladay doc.
Yeah.
Is being done.
Yeah.
RP to him.
Uh-huh.
That's definitely dope. I mean, we're in the time of none but sport docs.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to get a shit ton of sport documentaries. So why not on a Hall of Fame pitcher?
Yeah, right. Sean.
Sean, the reason why you're here, Sean. Let's talk about it.
Enlighten us.
All right.
Tell us who you guys signed. We don't even know the name of your manager. So
I got it. I got his name now.
Good, because I know
who it is now. But
you guys went through three managers in this offseason.
We went through a lot.
So here we go.
We went through a lot. Well, for my prospects, I got three prospects that I say should be on the lookout. And the first one is Ronnie. How do you say his last name? Mauricio, shortstop. I like, from what I've seen and what I've read about him, he's a switch hitter. He's more dominant on his left. And he's a power hitter, but they say that he needs to get more strength and build into his body. So that's something that if he got that more built up, they say that he could be a pretty dominant hitter. He's also athletic, and he's also good with the strength as far as, like, throwing at his shortstop position.
Oh, yeah. No. That's the one thing. If you're going to – No, third base and shortstop, you typically want them to have stronger arms.
Yeah, right, exactly. And accuracy and speed and stuff like that. So those were some of the things, the highlights that I seen with him. Mm-hmm. But he's not necessarily, to me, from what I've read, he's not necessarily MLB ready right now, from what I've read and what I've seen. It doesn't seem like he's MLB ready, but I do have one of them.
You mm-hmm. want a little tidbit on Marcio, and this is strictly coming on my hunch, mm-hmm. but his ETA is the exact year that Amed Rosario's contract expires.
I was going to ask you, Luke, being that you know a lot more, do you think
heir apparent to Rosario? 100%.
That, or is it time to start thinking if you're going to move him, maybe if you keep him, move him to the outfield already?
Here's the problem. Rosario's not a good defensive shortstop as is. I don't want to now completely tear him down fundamentally. It's not like there's a parallel in your fundamentals. Everything is different.
Yeah.
So does he have the speed? Sure. But if there's an abbreviated spring training, which there is, or going
to – Well, this season, I definitely think you would – if that was a thought, this season has to be like – we have to think about that next season.
Yeah.
We can't do any of that this season.
If I'm going to invest all the energy in teaching him how to play center field, then I'm going to extend him, which is possible. But coming up on the free agent market are guys like George Springer, okay. where if the Mets are going to, especially with new owner money, hopefully, the splashy move should be expected. It just doesn't make sense. If you can look at it through 10 different lenses, it just doesn't line up to be ideal. And honestly, you don't have to rush Mauricio. You don't. Let him go. He's got another 2 years.
Yeah. Right. That's what I was hearing, that his ETA, like you said, I don't know if you got the same thing, but they said around 2022.
Yeah.
So – Right, so that's Sean, more of his rejection.
Sean, before mm-hmm. you continue, obviously, it's well known the order we talk about teams, we talk worst to first mm-hmm. and protect the standings. So you agree with us having your Mets as a third-place team?
Yeah, absolutely. I was – before, you know, I did all my research, I would have had them even at fourth. But because I like how we finished the season, one – Two, I like some of the additions we made, but you guys know how I am when it comes to some of these Mets additions that we have. They don't always work out.
Yeah, so. But I can give you a reason why I would have kind of left them at fourth. No Syndergaard this year.
Yeah, that's definitely going to hurt. And I think that's part of the reason why you've seen so many moves as far as pitchers.
You just lost your second –
Second ace.
Yeah, the number two starter.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you right
now.
You guys definitely
have a shit ton of pitchers, though.
Yeah, the Syndergaard mm-hmm. injury bumped the Mets, to me, from second to third. I don't think they're a fourth-place team. Now,
a healthy Mets team, I can see being better than the Nationals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. easily. The offense is legitimately good.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is
the bullpen
all the fucking time. And
our bullpen is shit.
Well, the thing is, it's you signed Betances. It's not you didn't.
Right, we had the names, but like I always say, they underperform. Diaz is one prime example.
This is the argument that we had. You know, talk about the draft. Are you going to sign best available, or are you going to sign to fill immediate needs? If you're signing for immediate needs, I don't give a shit about the name.
You know what, though?
Down Betances.
Bullpen-wise, this is why I think a guy like Girardi would have been a good fit for the Mets.
100%.
There's times that your manager didn't use the right guys in the right situations.
Yeah.
Which definitely hurt your guys.
Yep.
You got to know who's your guys in clutch situations in the 7th, 8th, and 9th. But no, you had guys who you had 6-inning guys coming in the 8th inning to hold the 1-run lead.
Yeah.
And it just blew up in your face. That's why you got the best pitcher in fucking baseball winning the Cy Young every year with, 12 wins? With a 12
right. record?
Or with a sub-2 ERA?
Yeah.
Yep.
We say it all the time when we talk about baseball. You put DeGrom on the Yankees, he might win 30 games.
Yeah.
I agree.
Or with any offense.
Yeah, well,
I agree.
And no Marlins.
Yeah, and with a decent bullpen, like you said, now you guys, Betances should definitely be a good pickup for you whenever he's ready.
Right.
The big key for you guys is Edwin Diaz got to get back to Edwin Diaz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Like I say all the time, that's always been my problem with the Mets free agent signing is it's not the names are nice. But when it comes time to play, it's either injury or they don't perform to what everyone expects them to. Yeah. So that's always the reason why I don't always get so hyped with who we sign. Because
when it comes to free agency, the Mets are the Knicks of baseball.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're bad. I won't go as far as the Knicks. I think the Knicks are just pathetic.
I can tell you this why. The Knicks will sign that name. That guy who once had a name, but he's not.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like, no. D-Rose got back on the ship, but when D-Rose was on the Knicks, he wasn't.
You weren't getting MVP level Derrick Rose.
Exactly. And that's what the Mets, I feel like we're so hopeful on these guys to come back and be what they used to be, which I don't blame them for. But, and like I said, in past podcasts, that I'm definitely happy that we're being a lot more aggressive than we have in the past few years. The past 2-3 years, I feel like we've been a lot more aggressive, which I can't complain about that. I just hope that we get guys that are going to perform once they get here.
Yeah,
and that hasn't always been the case.
You guys aren't going to make significant amount of moves until you have new ownership.
Yeah.
It just came out today. A-Rod's out of bidding for you guys. It's probably going to go to that billionaire dude who just put his name into
it.
So I guess before we let Luke go on, player to watch for you, Sean.
Well, before I go to that, I got two more prospects. I'm going to name them real quick. Wait,
another thing, you did bring in former American League Cy Young Rick Porcello.
Yeah. He's one of those guys.
And Waka. So.
Waka as well. I was going to mention those guys. But, yeah, same shit with those. I can't get hyped. I'm not going to get hyped until.
No, those aren't guys that you're going to say, yes, we have the best fucking rotation in baseball.
Right. They definitely help. Right. No, they definitely help, and I'm happy that they made those moves because it's obviously something that we needed as a team, and clearly – you know, you like you said, when you have the Cy Young winner back to back, and things aren't working out because you're bullpen and your manager doing it right.
As much of a Yankee fan I am, me and Luke were ecstatic when we got fucking Gerrit Cole. I woke up to the text from Luke saying, "Did you fucking see what just happened?" I am not afraid to admit DeGrom is the best pitcher in baseball.
Oh yeah, it's right. Yeah.
You can have all of that. He's the best pitcher in fucking baseball.
Right. But when it's not amounting to wins, it looks bad for the team. We know it's not him, but it looks bad for the team. Yeah. But just to name these other guys real quick, Francisco Alvarez, a catcher. He's ranked 13th in international at our international prospects. He's a good hitter. He's smart at the plate. They said he's like veteran-wise as far as taking pitches and stuff like that. He's pretty smart at that. He's a really good, solid hitter. They said that something like as far as like putting the bat on the ball and getting it into play. You know, he's not someone that's going to hit a home runs all day, but he's going to get the ball into play. So I think that's a great sign.
Yeah.
The next guy was Andres Jimenez, another shortstop. And to me, from what I've read, he's the more MLB ready like prospect out of the three that I just named. Right. Good shortstop. He's quick. He's got the speed. As far as base running, he's quick. I think in 2018 he stole 38 bases and led the team last year, 28 in double A. So that's definitely something that I think could definitely be a help to the Mets because we know hitting was also another problem for us when we needed it. it didn't. We could not fucking get hit with runners and scoring positions. So if we can get prospects like that, that's definitely would be a plus. Right.
You left off two prospects.
Oh yeah, yeah. Go ahead. You talk about.
Let me just give my last bit on the Mets before you go, Luke.
Speak. Yeah. Go ahead.
I got a little here. The Mets. They totally fucked up that Edwin Diaz Robertson Cano trade. Taking that full contract of Cano wasn't worth it. We all know misuse of the bullpen kills him. Bringing back what's his face?
Familia.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah,
horrible move. Not trading Syndergaard or DeGrom last year at the deadline was stupid. Mm-hmm. To the fact that even the Yankees called and you said, "Yeah, we'll give you Wheeler for Gleyber Torres." Like for all of that, you should have never took the call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right there, those moves. But here is why I won't shit on them. There was a point during the season where the Mets were like the hottest team in baseball, the best team in baseball on a run.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What hurt them and what hurt the playoff chances was when Jeff McNeil went down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I was even with Sean, and I told Sean, I said, "You guys are done. You just lost your best player."
Yeah.
To me, he's their best player. It's not a Pete Alonso. I know he smashed all the records. It's not hating because he broke Aaron Judge's record. I don't care.
No. You're right, though.
I'm just putting it out there. McNeil is more valuable to me if I'm a Mets fan because he plays multiple positions and he's just a better hitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Gap to gap, line to line hitter. He's a guy who could bat second or third in your lineup.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you have your bullpen. I mean, your rotation takes a hit now, not having Syndergaard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it makes the Porcello and Walker signing that much more important.
Yeah, it moves.
Matt is your three, Stroman's a two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Stroman trade and that losing Syndergaard actually makes the Stroman trade a little bit better last year, even though at the time I questioned, like, what the fuck are the Mets doing?
Yeah.
The thing is, if you made the Stroman trade for this season and afterwards, okay, I'll take it. But you should have moved Wheeler or Syndergaard.
Wheeler.
Just because you knew he was going to walk, you should have got something for him.
Yeah.
Right.
You should have got whatever prospect. It was desperate teams. I'm pretty sure they probably didn't want what's his name from the Yankees, Clint Frazier and stuff, but I understand. No, but that's my only thing with the Mets. The Mets definitely could be a better team, you know? The Syndergaard.
Sure. They have the potential. The
most. You know, you lose one of the top pitchers in baseball, but let's see. Hopefully a new manager, and it'll fix all the bullpen misusage.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah,
who are the other two, Lou?
So you missed Brett Batty and Matt Allen. Funny with them is their draft stock took a hit with not like horrible character issues, but both these guys went through college. They didn't sign out of high school. They were not first round picks. Batty was a third round pick with the talent of a first rounder, but had that little character flaw. Mets were smart enough to scoop him up. Van Wagenen's drafting so far has actually been good.
That's what I would say. The Mets actually do draft.
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah. Why does Brett matter? Why should he be on this list? Well, you have two good shortstops. You have a decent third baseman now in J.D. Davis. He ain't going to be there that much longer. Batty's the heir apparent. So he's probably your most, him and Mauricio are probably your two most unmovable right now. Matt Allen, he'll be good. He's not going to be DeGrom, Syndergaard good, but a good, I think I would say about the same role that Wheeler had, give or take. Mm. Better than Matt's, better than Waka or Porcello right now. He's just not going to be there this year. You got to give him at least another year. Right. In terms of players to watch, it's your entire bullpen.
But for sure. Not because of
talent. The management was always the problem. It's, again, the NL East seems to just have this problem, and it happened to the Braves too. The bullpen in the Nationals had no fucking talent, but no one seems to know how to manage a bullpen. But you have Justin Wilson, Dylan Betances, Edwin Diaz, Jairus Familia, Seth Lugo. You have right there, that should at least convert you at minimum to a 75% conversion rate after the fifth inning.
Yep.
And you're playing far below that minimal expectation.
Yep.
Most Met fans, after Lugo got burned, shit their pants. Because you overused Lugo, which means you couldn't stretch him when you had to. That's number one. Diaz, like most closers, is confidence dependent. So when you saw him with the Mariners, and honestly, the Mariners version of him is not who I would want if I were you. I want the Team Puerto Rico version of him. The oozing swagger, dominant.
Oh, yeah, that he's just going to come out and throw a fucking fastball at 100 and say, fucking, I dare you to hit it.
Yeah, but there's a difference at throwing 100 when you're rattled versus throwing 100.
Yeah, no, but that's what I mean. When you talk about that swagger from the Team Puerto Rico, Diaz, he was just saying, I know you're not going to hit this.
Right.
Take this.
You give him confidence, which I think is half the reason why Dylan Betances is a great signing. Because Betances, we've seen when he's confident, is dominant. There's your dominant bridge. And not to mention Justin Wilson, former Yankee, former Tiger, for what it's worth, is very good at getting lefties out. Why does that matter in the NL East?
Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper.
Yep.
Rhys Hoskins.
Juan Soto.
Right. The list, fucking Robles, I think, is lefty. There's so many good lefties.
Yeah.
So Wilson, for what it's worth, he has a role there. You guys shouldn't be as bad. McNeil killed you just by him not being there.
Yeah.
Also losing Nimmo hurt, because when Nimmo is Nimmo, he's an on-base machine.
Yeah.
So you lose him at the top of the order. Rosario underperformed. At least one of the two of them has to be getting on.
Yeah. Right.
Bridge to Alonso has to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, now, this year, you have protection for Alonso in the form of Cespedes, assuming he's actually healthy.
Assuming he doesn't play golf on his off days.
He's always going to do that. Let him golf. Golf ain't going to hurt anybody. It can. It probably won't.
With him, it might.
Well, yeah, but he gets hurt in, like, Kevin Brown-style ways, where it's some freaky, stupid bullshit. But I would say, like I said before, you guys, in my opinion, were a wild card contender before the Syndergaard injury.
Mm-hmm.
You need that horse. The NL East is a fucking arms race. You lost your second biggest gun. You will unfortunately not make the playoffs strictly on that.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Moving on. Washington Nationals.
Defending champs.
That's a fucking weird thing to say.
Well, at least somebody beat the trash can beaters.
Well, yes. Oh, no, trust me. I'm thrilled. I would much rather be the Nationals than the goddamn Astros. But, you know, in terms of what they did, they re-signed Yan Gomes. Good backup. Have zero problem with that. Very good defensive catcher.
Yeah, he is.
Daniel Hudson, good reliever, desperately needed, no problem there. Brought in Starlin Castro, love that. Confused a little bit by it though.
And they picked up for the bullpen Will Harris.
Also, yeah, well, that was the other guy on my list. The only thing that doesn't make any sense there is you have Carter Kieboom, who is your top prospect, top 30 in baseball. He's a second baseman. I would have left second base vacant to just plug in the rookie.
Yeah.
But Castro, if you want Kieboom to learn from a pros pro like Castro, got no problem.
Castro, a guy who's super young, and it's feel like he's been playing for like 15 years.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, because they now have Starlin Castro, the Nationals are guaranteed to not win another World Series. He's the most snake-bitten man in baseball. Cubs traded him, what, a year before they won? So, yeah. Aside from Keyboom, the only other real prospect I had on the on my radar here was where the hell is it? Luis Garcia, another second baseman. Again, you're unless Trey Turner's your center fielder, which he's not because Victor Robles is back there, he's probably just going to be stuck in purgatory.
Yeah.
You guys have players to watch here. Mine personally is Victor Robles.
Yeah.
Who's going to say Soto? That a boy.
I'll say Soto. Before I get to that, yeah, you know the only name you missed that they picked up, Eric Thames. He'll probably be a first. He'll play first base here and there. He'll pinch hit most of the time, probably. We all know the rotation they have. The top three.
Filthy.
Strasburg, Scherzer, Corbin. A guy I didn't think Corbin was worth as much as he got paid for, but the way he pitched in the playoffs was.
Yep.
Nasty.
Had a good regular season too. It's not like he was an 8-8.
Oh no, yeah. I'm just saying, like, he earned that in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Like the postseason, he showed why he got paid what he got paid.
Yep.
Yeah, you got everything. Only the reason I'll say Soto is my player to watch. He made a name for himself in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now I want to see what he can do with now us knowing who he is. I paid attention to him. I don't know if it was last year or the year before when they No, it was last year. They played the Yankees. And he hit two bombs off of them.
Yeah.
One was in Yankee Stadium. He hit an opposite field down the line bomb.
Yep.
Against Tanaka. And then he killed them in Washington.
Yep.
So I started definitely paying attention to him.
Yeah.
He's another young guy with the swag that you want to see.
Kid's 21.
Yeah.
Has all the swagger in the world.
Yeah.
Soto shuffle is 100% a thing.
Yeah. The kid is filthy.
Yeah. Right now, if you asked me if there was one left fielder that I would want in the entirety of baseball, I would take him.
Yeah.
It's not really even close. Just not. The kid he's too young, too talented. He's only going to get better.
Exactly. That's my point right there.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. There's really not much else to say with them. A lot of their other moves were just re-signing guys they had, like Howie Kendrick earned an extension via the playoffs.
For what he did in the playoffs, World Series.
Yeah.
You know, that they didn't. They do pretty much what almost every World Series winning team does. Either you fucking add another top guy or you just re-sign the guys that helped you win, say, you know what, you earned this for getting us a World Series.
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. The smartest move, and I'm not saying this immediately proved to pay dividends, the smartest move they did was let Bryce go.
Yeah.
Bryce was not giving them a World Series.
No.
Soto and Robles were the players you can build around.
Mm-hmm.
And then being extremely savvy in free agency with the guys like Corbin.
Yeah,
they signed Scherzer. I immediately said, fuck, the Yankees should have dumped the money on him.
Oh, yeah, I was big on Scherzer that year.
Yeah, because he was also just coming off a World Series appearance with Detroit.
I didn't even know why the Yankees wouldn't even talk to him.
I don't know either, but it is what it is.
One guy who's built for the innings.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it real quick. The guy literally broke his fucking nose.
Yep.
Practicing bunting and made his next start like a week later with a black eye.
Yeah. No, guys, no, Scherzer is a psychopath in like the best.
Mad Max is for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Aside from that, my player to watch is Robles. You said yours is Soto.
Best two players on that field with them.
Yeah.
With Trey Turner, I could throw Trey Turner up there.
Well, Trey Turner, if he's healthy, he's electric. He's a perfect leadoff guy.
The problem that you just said, if he's healthy.
Right. But, yeah, I'll say this. I mentioned it in the NL West episode. I personally think Arizona is a wild card team.
Yeah.
You, I think, took the Padres.
Yeah,
I said I'll flip to the Padres if Gore makes the roster.
Yeah.
This is your other wild card team, in my opinion, Washington.
Okay, I see that right now. Right now, based on what we talked about, I had it as possibly San Diego, Cincinnati.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. Forgot
about the Reds. Yeah, Cincinnati. But I can see Washington stealing a spot because, like you said, with San Diego, you never know. They can hit that rough patch and be out of it.
And, again, all of our playoff predictions now, just bear in mind, people, you have to put a grain of salt just because we don't even know what the hell the playoff format is going to be.
Yeah, we don't even know what the divisions are going to be.
Right. Yeah. So we literally don't know how this is going to shake out. But if you told me a coin flip between the – I mean, honestly, I think this is a better team than Arizona. I would say about as good as Cincinnati.
Okay.
So if you told me it was any combination of the Reds, the Nats, or the Diamondbacks, I would be like, okay, I could buy that 100%.
Yeah.
That's not a stretch. Now, the team that's going to run away with this division, probably the most fun team to watch in baseball, in my personal opinion.
You talk about having young guys with swagger?
Yeah, Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah. It's the Atlanta Ronald Acuna's. But yeah, the fucking Braves are so good. They lost Donaldson and it's not going to matter.
Not at all.
It's just not. Acuna's the best probably. Acuna right now is the best value player, him and Bellinger in baseball. It's just,
I'll give you this. I know we didn't really say it, but here's my I'm gonna go out on a limb. Acuna competes for the MVP this year.
If you told me he win it, I'd be like, okay, that makes sense.
I'm gonna say it now. He competes for the MVP this year, whether it's an NL MVP or a league-wide MVP, who knows?
But yeah, right. He's competing. Between, if you compare Acuna to Bellinger, Acuna does all the things that Bellinger can do.
And he does the things.
And steal 40 bags.
Exactly. That's the biggest difference. He can run.
Yeah, they're both. Bellinger's a better outfielder.
If there's one guy who's a 40-40 threat, it's him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's pretty much the only guy in baseball who I can legitimately say, and there's a reason in every fantasy baseball draft, he's number one over Mike Trout. It's literally because of health, but those are the only two guys that if they're healthy can do 40-40.
Oh yeah, Trout. Listen, when we talk about things, we don't have to bring Trout's name up. Well, it should be fucking known what he's capable of by now.
Yeah, but the problem is he hasn't been to a fucking playoff game yet.
The guy's handcuffed and where he's at.
I mean, he chose to sign the fucking
– Yeah,
If I handed you 13 years and $400 fucking million, anyone would sign it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's finish off the Braves here. They signed Will Smith. That was the first free agent signing of the offseason.
Yep.
Loved it. Bullpen was 100% a position of need for Atlanta. So was catcher, which was why Travis d'Arnaud makes sense. And then the big one, which
d'Arnaud had a decent year with Tampa last year.
D'Arnaud's never a bad player. You're just never going to get more than 120 games out of him.
Yeah.
And then Marcelo Ozuna. Coming back to the NL East, mm-hmm. after I would say a disappointing stint with the Cardinals,
yeah.
I think Ozuna personally is my player to watch of this team. If there's one guy to really harp on, it would probably be him. Just because that of anyone who needs a bounce back season, it's Ozuna. Like the return to normalcy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
What do you got for a player to watch?
I'll have two, just because, like, you threw that name that I was thinking about anyway, was Dansby Swanson.
Yep.
You know, like I said, you let go the best defensive shortstop in baseball because you had this kid in the system.
Yep.
He has to hit now.
This is true.
You know, for all of that, they could have, you know, because when Andrews and Simmons was there, he wasn't hitting.
Yep.
I think actually playing with the Angels made Simmons a better hitter.
Yeah.
You know, when you have guys like Trout and fucking Pujols around you to fucking
lean on. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the other guy is Ozzie Albies.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Guy,
Albies, correct me if I'm wrong, Albies was the first of their huge prospects to land in the majors. Yeah. I think he beat Acuna by a year.
Yeah, he was up before.
Or I think maybe Swanson was the top guy. Either way, Albies is the most forgotten about young stud, probably in baseball, and it's because of Acuna.
And I can give you this, like, second to even be at second base, a name that makes you forget about Ozzie Albies, Gleyber Torres.
That's another good one. Well, even though Gleyber's moving to shortstop, yes.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres is why you don't think of Ozzie Albies.
Right. Well, I mean, honestly, in my head, if I'm going over the top second baseman in baseball that just immediately come to my head, it's LeMahieu, obviously.
Of course.
Whit Merrifield.
Of course. Most
underrated player in baseball. Colton Wong is going to – Ketel Marte. Yeah,
Colton Wong will be there no matter what. The kid, fucking guy gets the
ball hits him. But you're right, I'm just saying, Ozzie Albies is probably the most forgotten about stud on a playoff team. That's the differentiator between him and Merrifield in baseball, and it's only because of Acuna.
Yes, and just to finish up on him, gotta mention him. For right now, he's Mr. Fucking Brave, Freddie Freeman.
Yeah, the still most doing stable,
still reliable. Doing Freddie Freeman things.
Yeah. He is the anchor.
Yes.
To that entire team.
You know, he to me, when I think of him, I think of Rizzo with the Cubs.
Yeah, right.
What Rizzo means to the Cubs is what Freeman means to the Braves.
Mm-hmm. That's 100% true. Except Freeman is a better overall player in every aspect.
Yes. And just as I'll kick it to you to bring up some prospects.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, prospects are on you.
I'll start with Drew Waters. He's probably not going to make it. None of these guys are probably going to make it this year just because that team is loaded. But Drew Waters and Kristen Pache, I think that's how you say it, two outfielders. They're young. They're promising. Should be a bright future for them. The guy that I am – again, and he got option to the minors again. Tuki Toussaint.
Okay.
For a Braves rotation that is not complete,
mm-hmm.
I don't think it hurts to stick him in the 4-5 slot.
Okay.
Also, not to mention they did lose Julio Teheran.
Yeah.
So what was already a shaky kind of pen or rotation to begin with mm-hmm. got kind of worse.
Yeah.
I don't get – unless you're telling me that Felix Hernandez is going to be their fourth or fifth and is blocking Toussaint, I get it. You got to either play this kid or fucking deal him at this point.
Yeah.
You gave everyone else, all these other stud prospects, you gave all of them a shot. Why can't he get a shot?
Yeah. And one thing too, as like fans, you don't want to see them pick up a third baseman. They're the one team that's brought up when you hear about Chris Bryant and Nolan Arenado the most.
Yeah.
You don't want them picking up one of those guys. That team will be filthy.
Well, I mean, the team's already loaded, which is
frightening. That's the scary part.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, it would be a spoiler of riches. But if you're telling me Acuna's protection in that lineup was Freeman and then Bryant or Arenado, that's your National League.
Representative, yeah.
And speaking of National League representative, they are my National League representative.
Oh, you got them? So I'm gonna stick with the Dodgers.
Yeah, that would be the only other option. That comes to mind here. Now, since we are at the end of the NL in general, who's your pick for MVP? Acuna, Yelich, Bellinger, other?
Acuna.
Acuna?
Yep.
I would agree. I'm not gonna kill you with gold gloves and platinum gloves. That's
no, we can just do Cy Young.
Yes,
Cy Young.
Scherzer or DeGrom?
Yeah, I'm gonna say DeGrom.
I would agree. Three-peat. Yeah, I can't argue it.
He goes for the three-peat.
Yeah.
DeGrom.
hopefully he'll have more than like 10 wins though.
Yeah.
I know. He should easily have.
All right, since we're at the end, Sean, just thoughts on the division in general or even the whole National League. Like, what team do you see have making the World Series as the NL representative?
Well, to be honest, I would have to do more research on what's been going on. But from everything that I've heard so far, the Braves definitely sound like a team that look like a team that is ready. Okay. And from what I remember last year, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of people had that team being ready last year.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Right. So it makes sense that they didn't get it done this year, but they progressed to the next level.
Yeah.
I'm totally not against the Braves. I just feel like when you got the fucking Dodgers team that's there every year, and then you just added
right. You can't.
Bets. You just added Mookie Betts of all players.
Yeah.
You definitely can't knock the Dodgers out. Like you said, they're there every year. My only thing is, when is Kershaw going to get over the hump?
It's not Kershaw.
Yeah, but my thing with Kershaw now is, you don't have
to. Yeah, it's not him. We know it's not him, but
you don't have to lean on him as the ace anymore.
Yeah, it's Bueller's
game. That's Walker Bueller's rotation.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Here's why I can't pick the Dodgers.
Kenley Jansen.
The Nationals team that beat them is worse than this Braves team by a significant margin. I don't trust the Dodgers worth a shit because even Bellinger disappeared.
Yeah.
That whole team has a habit of a catastrophic fuck-up once September turns into October.
Yeah.
And the only question is it going to come, you know, in the World Series, CS, DS? Where's the fuck up?
Yeah. Very true.
Yeah. And again, Kershaw, what he said, Kershaw is not the ace anymore. It's Bueller's team. Let the young kids play.
And that's the shit with the fucking Dodgers. They're going to have another fucking two or three guys coming up from the minors this year that we're not going to see coming.
Well, May and Gonsolin are probably here to stay.
Oh, yeah. That's probably happening opening
day. Bueller is what, 24?
It's filthy.
Yeah. It's not fair. I'm going to pick the Braves because I legitimately think, and again, this is a grain of salt statement because it's a very close margin. I think Acuña is the best player in baseball by this much of a margin. Over, and again, Trout's here, so Trout's in his own category.
Trout, we can talk about Trout.
But underneath the Trout is the Bellinger, Acuña, Yelich category. Yeah. I think Acuña right now is the best player of those three.
Trout is past the best player category.
No, no. We understand that Trout is God. And then there's you know, peasants.
The best players.
Acuña is not Trout. Acuña is not literally Jesus with batting gloves. That is Trout. That is Trout's territory. Acuña is probably the bishop or the deacon.
Listen, I see it as this, like as the talk we had before. Ozuna's a guy who should win an MVP. Trout shouldn't win MVPs. Trout should just win best player awards.
Yeah.
Not most valuable because his team is shit.
Yeah.
Just give the guy the Mike Trout an award.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, basically. Do you guys have anything else to throw into the fire here, or are we going to put a bow tie on this bitch?
That we done with the end.
All right.
And now, Lee, thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah.
Represent my team. Hopefully it's a better outlook this year.
Yeah, well. Hopefully.
Just don't start talking shit when you guys have a fucking good fucking first month of the season and then
you're on earth. I don't talk shit early. Well, some last year I think I did, but I don't always talk shit early.
I can tell you that, matter of fact, me and you were in Queens for all fucking. The strangest part, we was in Queens when it happened.
I remember.
A night football tournament. We happened to go across the street to the store. You guys were started talking a whole bunch of shit. And I have to, man. Talk to me in June.
Look. See, that's the problem. I can't talk to you in June. That's the problem. So I have to do the talking when we're relevant. That's what you guys have to understand. We have to take every little W. Every little W means everything to us. So we're going
to
take it.
Got to hold on to it.
With that bitch. We're going running with it.
I've said it once and I'll say it again. City Field's a fun driving range.
And there you go. That sums it up.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll put a nice little bow tie on this one. Again, this is Take It Deep, part of the Jones for Sports family of shows. We do sports. We do baseball, football, basketball.
More to come. Name it, we got it.
Yeah, we have a debate show. We have the Bleacher Creatures, which is going to be relaunching soon. Be on the lookout for that one.
Definitely.
Yeah, if
it's
you
going
like,
to be crazy
if,
on
if
that
you
shit.
Like, yes, oh my God, the Bleacher Creatures is going to be a fucking shit show of hilarious shit. But,
shit.
Yeah, if you like sports and you're like me and you hate Fox Sports 1 and ESPN, but your alternative opinions, that's what we're here for.
Yep.
That's but, exactly yep. Yeah. So for myself, E.
Just think of, before you go on, just think of what Skip. And Shannon and Stephen A. and Max can't say on air. We gonna say it on Bleacher Creatures.
Oh yeah,
big facts.
Yeah, but for myself, Sean, and E, this was Take It Deep. We out.
Peace.